Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus was not a martyr. Jesus was not a victim. Jesus was not a pawn. Jesus was God Almighty in human skin, living out scripture and going to the cross to die there for your sins and mine.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
You know, in a hectic world, it's hard to find a moment's peace. A beautiful sunrise on a quiet beach gives temporary solace. But daily inspiration that will guide and uplift our spirits is what we need the most. It's why people of all ages are turning to devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new devotion each week, and previous devotions you can go to start each day with purpose and hope. Jack Hibbs devotions are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now with his special Good Friday message called Out of the Darkness. Hey, we're glad you're with us today. Without Good Friday, you know, there would be no hope for us at all. Life would have no meaning without the death of Christ on the cross. You see, Jesus endured suffering and death so that out of the darkness, he could take the keys of hell and of death and give to us the gift of eternal life. And today, Pastor Jack teaches us the full story of why Jesus took upon himself the darkness of all humanity's sin, sickness, and disease. The Jesus Christ of the Bible, who once was dead, came to life again to bring a future and a hope for you and me. Now, with his special Good Friday message called Out of the Darkness, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Without today, life would have no meaning. Without this day, there would be no price paid for our redemption. You know, with the setting as it should be, it's darkened, and we're going to be obviously reading some heavy scripture here together. But the fact of the matter is, if you think about it, I found myself thinking about this today, is the fact that the brilliance of Sunday is so bright that we have to get into the mood tonight. As we said, we're to come somber, right? We're to come. But we know down deep inside how this ends. So I would say that tonight we come thankful. And rejoicing in what God has done for us. And so with that, we'll stand together. But for speed's sake, for reading purposes tonight, I'll read if you'll follow along with me. Now Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. I indeed have, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city, and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then he said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. That's one of the saddest statements in humanity. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them One they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Now, as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the greenwood or in a time of peace, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were crucified blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it is about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Listen, then he took it down. I love that. He didn't take Jesus down. He took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in the tomb that it was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. Father, we pray tonight that as we pause to give thanks and to praise and to honor and to remember this great moment in history, we marvel, Father God, that it is historic, but the fact of the matter is, it's also profoundly prophetic, that the Lamb of God has come to take away the sins of the world. And so, Father, speak to us now as we seek to worship you this evening and give you our affection our attention. And God, we pray that you'd protect us from becoming a religious people. But Lord, that you might prompt us to be a people who know you in the relationship that you intended. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So yeah, I mentioned somber, but we know what's coming. Many years ago in Los Angeles, there was a great pastor that preached, E.V. Hill. Anybody remember E.V. Hill? He used to be on TV. And I can't mention the name E.V. Hill without hearing him say on their Good Friday service, "It's Friday!" And he went through great detail. "It's Friday and it's dark outside. The ground is shaking. It's Friday." And he would do that. And he's got his handkerchief. Remember him? Sweating and preaching. And then when he painted this incredibly bleak picture, he said those words. I'm already starting to hear some of it. He said, "It's Friday, but Sundays are coming." And that's the best I can do as a white man. And I regret that. I may be white on the outside, but we know something. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 17, verse 22, that now while they were staying in Galilee, that was Jesus' ministry headquarters, he spent the bulk of his 3.5 years ministering almost exclusively in Galilee. He said to them, that's the disciples, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised up." Friends, if you do your homework, Jesus said that 6 months before they went down to Jerusalem for the Passover for the final time. He had warned the disciples. He had instructed them, "I am going to die. I'm going to be betrayed." But quite frankly, they didn't want to hear it. It's not that they were in denial, but I bear witness to their optimism. They were watching the dead raised, hanging out with Jesus. Can you imagine that? You, as a disciple, you were even sent out with a great power to preach the gospel and do miracles. Jesus sent them out first by the 12, and then as the ministry was growing, 70 others went later, doing great miracles. They expected the kingdom of God to come the way that they thought it would come first. But Jesus had some business to take care of first.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
By the way, keep this in mind, friends. This is not a day that we celebrate that things got out of hand. Jesus was not a martyr. Jesus was not a victim. Jesus was not a pawn. Jesus was God Almighty in human skin, living out scripture and going to the cross to die there for your sins and mine. He would culminate all of the atoning sacrifices that went before him for thousands of years, and all of the sacrificial animals and all of their blood was just a little image of he who would come, and it's Jesus. But from that moment on, Christ would offer himself up on this day that we celebrate. On Mark chapter 10, verse 32, the Bible tells us, "Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed." By the way, the word implies in the Greek language that as they were heading down to Jerusalem, coming down from Galilee, that they were amazed because Jesus was, listen, in such a stride. What's the word? The clip in which he was walking. I mean, he walked in a way with the disciples that they knew how to walk with him for 3 years. Oh, but this little hint right here tells you that he's walking differently now. Jesus is, listen, he's not tiptoeing toward Jerusalem. His stride has picked up its gait, and he's moving with determination. And the Bible tells us that the Messiah would head to Jerusalem, and he would set his face to the mission like flint. He knew exactly what he was doing. And Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. And he says in verse 33, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. Now, the reason why you go down to Jerusalem from Galilee, it's very amazing. You can go down south from any direction, but when you get to Jerusalem, guess what you have to do? It's remarkable. From 360 degrees, no matter where you come from in the world, you've got to go up to Jerusalem. If you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We've done this. We've come from Galilee following his footsteps, but you've got to go down into the valleys before you go up to Mount Moriah. And Jerusalem sits, and the temple's there. And he said, the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. See, Jesus knew something. They didn't know. They weren't listening. They weren't fathoming it. You and I, 2,000 years later, here we are today, we know something. It's Friday. Mm-hmm. We know something. One of the great reasons why, there are many reasons why, but one of the great reasons why we're Christians is found in this truth in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, starting there. And Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. My friends, if you don't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, then you don't believe in the Old Testament whatsoever, because that declaration by Jesus is an Old Testament description of the Old Testament God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob found in the book of Isaiah. What do you say to that? That's pretty awesome. You see, this is the Lamb of God. Verse 17, Revelation 1 tells us, and when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand upon me. So John sees a vision of Jesus, and John says, he lays his right hand upon me, and listen to what he says. Jesus speaks, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. I've got the keys to hell and the grave. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 says, these things says, Jesus is speaking, who is the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. That is awesome. Do you mean to say that your God took upon himself human skin and died on the cross? Yes. Well, then if your God died on the cross, then why didn't the universe cease to exist? Why didn't the universe fly apart? Well, you need to read your Bible more carefully. In the beginning, God created. And that word is Elohim. And in Hebrew, it's a singular unity. We don't get that in English, but it's God is one, but he manifests himself in a plurality. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Besides all that, by the way, when Jesus died on the cross, his body died, which is a profound testimony to all of us that the day that you die, you live on. You think your body's so important? Not according to God. Your body will not live forever in the condition that it's in. Thank God for that. I took 2 Advil before I got here today, just because it's not cooperating with this evening. But the gospel on a night like this is all wrapped around the cross. And the cross brings us to our theme this week, out of the darkness. Out of the darkness, Jesus brings us, because it's Jesus Christ who took upon himself the darkness of all of humanity's sin-sick diseases. I'm not talking about physical diseases. Those are bad enough. I'm talking about the diseases that Jesus took upon himself at the cross for us on this day in history. The sin-sick disease of lying, for example. Lying. The sin-sick diseases of anger. That's unrighteous anger. There's a holy anger, but he didn't die for that type of holy anger. A wicked anger. He died for the sin-sick disease of hate. Right now, our globe is wrapped, it seems as though, in a poison of hate, like it's a gas that's just above the surface of the earth, maybe about 3 feet high, you know, like some movie. And this mist seems to be engulfing the world of hate and lawlessness. He died for the sin-sick disease of lust and the sin-sick diseases of gossip. the sin sick diseases of sexual perversion. He died for all of that. On the cross, he came, all of them. The Bible says he died for all manner of sin. And you think about that. Upon Jesus was all the sin of the world put on him, and as it were, in a black box, God put all of that upon the shoulders of Jesus and wrapped it in a black bow. And that, probably that black bow would be the sin-sick disease of pride. That's the number one slayer of men right there is pride. Everything else that I mentioned a moment ago is all topped by pride. Pride is the driving force behind all those things. The cross. What are we talking about in this day and age? When we go to a church, I assume this is your church, but maybe it's not your church. When you go to a church, do you hear the cross? In a day and age like now, what America needs is the preaching of the cross. America, listen, God knows his timetable. We don't know, but we know this, that we are to keep living for him until we get called home by whatever means he chooses. We are to be living for God right now. There should be no doubt in the lives of people who know us that we're living for God. Why? Because the cross has got a power to it. And you think about the cross in Roman days. Today it's a beautiful ornament, if you think about it. We have it on jewelry and t-shirts and bumper stickers, artwork. But if you were to do it today, it'd be an electric chair. That's what it was in the first century, equal to that. The cross was disgusting. The cross was horrific. It's a place where bad people went. It's a place where people went who deserved it because they had wreaked havoc in the world. And like you read a moment ago, those two thieves on the cross were murderers. And they were crucified on either side of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible tells us, John speaking, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. It's Jesus, if you don't know. As though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God into all the earth. Then he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So he takes the scroll from his father. Awesome. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Isn't it amazing? Every time you pray, apparently your prayer goes up before God and it's stored in a little bottle. Or hopefully it's a big bottle. Mine's probably a thimble, but I hope not. But listen to this, verse 9. And they sang a new song. Listen to what they sing. And by the way, if you're a Christ follower, there's going to be a day when you actually literally, this is freaky weird. Right now, your Bible, we're going to read it. There's going to be a day coming that you and I will be in God's eternal time zone, not Pacific time zone, eternal time zone where you and I will sing this song as the redeemed. Listen. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, says John, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the four and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. That's a cute way. The word in the Greek simply means ain't no way to count them all. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. That's what was happening on this crucifixion day in history. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever. And how long? Ever.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his special Good Friday message called Out of the Darkness. Thanks for being with us today. Our prayer is that in celebrating Passion Week, you'll come to realize the urgency to come to Christ, knowing that He is the only way to eternal life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.